Lehigh Valley Public Radio is proud to present HealthBeat, a spotlight on healthcare in the Lehigh Valley, produced in conjunction with the Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust and the Ryder Poole Foundation.
Good evening and welcome to HealthBeat, a program that examines how we as a community can create a healthier Lehigh Valley. I'm Greg Caponia, along with Edward Meehan, the Executive Director of the Ryder Poole Foundation. Hi, Edward.
Hello, Greg. Always good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Today, we're very pleased to once again welcome the President and Chief Executive Officer at Lehigh Valley Health Network, Dr. Brian Nestor. Welcome, Dr. Nestor.
Hey, great to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Gentlemen, we're here to chat about some big news. The Poole Trust and the transfer of its assets to create the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. This Institute for Health will be managed by LVHN, and the Institute, I believe, will begin operating this summer. Is that correct, Edward?
That is correct. We're underway.
And Dr. Nestor, this is an evolution that seems to make a lot of sense. How important is this transition for the Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It required a lot of conversation between the Poole Trust and LVHN's board. It was born out of a really positive relationship at the management level between Ed, Meehan, and myself and our teams. We knew what had to get done for the benefit of our community, and we had discussions about, so what happens when the Poole Trust essentially ends in 2025? What does that really look like? And what was going to happen at the end of most trusts, the balance, the corpus, would go to the beneficiary, so it would go to LVHN. And we had a problem with that. Certainly, you'd love to see tens of millions of dollars kind of be dumped into operations. That would be great, but would it be the right use of funds? And I know Ed and I and others and both of our boards concluded that that would not be a good idea.
It's easy when you're running an organization to take an amount of money like this and just fold it into operations and it becomes part of your line item budgeting. But you've not done that. You've really carved out a specific piece here to study the social determinants of health and also do some pretty deep analytics, haven't you?
Absolutely, Greg. You know, our posture after we had some of those early conversations was, so 2025, we may have different board, we may have different executive teams at LVHN and at the Poole Trust, and we should capture the moment to say and make a commitment that, you know, our Lehigh Valley is always going to have challenges as it relates to health. It would be certainly better to carve out those dollars, not let them fly into operations, put them into a subsidiary that the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health that is charged with addressing the major social, health, and economic related issues that are in the communities we serve. I remember commenting that if the money just got dropped off in 2025 to the hospital and was dumped into operations, and the team that was here then actually used it for operations, that would be a sign of management failure. We know we could use those monies for public good, and they are now preserved for that purpose.
Edward, this transition's occurring after nearly 50 years of operation in the stewardship of, at times, $150 million-plus dollars. The Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust has remained true to the legacy of Leonard Parker Poole. How important is it over the past 50 years?
Greg, it's extremely important. And just to piggyback on Dr. Nestor's comment, you know, just tremendous compliments to the board of LVHN and the board of the Poole Trustees to have the vision to think about three things that were eyes on the prize. One is how to preserve the legacy of Leonard Poole and Dorothy Ryder Poole, how to make sure the money would be focused on health in the Lehigh Valley, and then how to get upstream on these very difficult interactive issues of health and housing and health and education and other determinants of health. So eyes on the prize about how do we preserve the legacy of Mr. Poole was helped us get through all the conversations to think through how do we create the Institute. So when I think about the legacy of Mr. Poole, I think about his interest when Dorothy Ryder Poole was passing of what I can get my spouse to Philadelphia, to New York City, to Toronto, to Chicago, to anywhere. But what does the average person in Lehigh Valley do for health care? And then how do we think about health? And at the time, the best advice in the 1960s was you need to have a really superior healthcare organization. You need to have a really good hospital, and you need to attract really good physicians. That was the thinking then, and mission accomplished. LVHN is an excellent healthcare network. I think if Mr. Poole were alive today and Dr. Nestor and I were to present the information to him that we have at our hands saying healthcare is extremely important, but it is one component of many facets of what determine whether a population or a community is healthy or not, I think Mr. Poole would follow that thinking and just say, sure, this is the way we need to go. He certainly was interested in progressive ideas, not afraid to take risk, and very, very forward thinking in his work. So I think this is a logical progression of the Poole Healthcare Trust. Greg, think about it. Think about foundations across the country. You know, we're taking down the Poole Healthcare Trust, and we're doing it early for purposes of creating a brand new thing. That's a pretty different thing for most foundations to do.
Did the pandemic have anything to do with the change in timing here, or is this just something that you thought it was time that it should occur?
We were certainly thinking about this pre-pandemic, and you know, Dr. Nestor's thinking and his communication to the community about how we're only as healthy as the least healthy in the Lehigh Valley is certainly driving the conversation and driving the work going forward. And then what the pandemic did not instigate our thinking about creating this, quote, durable entity, creating the Institute, but it certainly did put a fine point on why it's necessary. When the dust clears and we have a chance to look at what are the lessons to be learned from COVID in the Lehigh Valley, we're going to learn a lot about how it disproportionately affected some communities and not others. And when we start to dig down on that, I think it's going to reveal a lot of what we already know that needs work, which is, you know, the most disenfranchised communities, the most at risk for all kinds of housing, education, and other social challenges.
Dr. Nestor, can you explain, will we see an expansion of the data center? How will we dig deeper into what the Lehigh Valley really needs?
Yeah, thanks. Kudos to Poole Trust for, even before the official start of the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health, they really kicked off and energized this overall effort by providing a $10 million gift to endow the Poole Center for Health Analytics. That's huge, because what we have learned since the Affordable Care Act and what LVHN has studied very deeply is value-based reimbursement, fee for value, and frankly, recognizing the perverse nature of fee-for-service and taking care of human beings. So as you really look at, you know, the healthcare economy in America, we all know that we spend a whole lot more on individuals for care than the rest of the universe, and not always with a better outcome. So with the Affordable Care Act, a couple truths hit us pretty hard. One was that there's going to be no new money. Federal government is just about tapped out in terms of how much they want to spend on caring for Americans. The debt is rising, and you know the percent of GDP is going up too fast in terms of healthcare spend. So that's one thing. No new money. That's a problem, especially in the face of a mandate for Medicaid expansion and also booming boomers, 10,000 new beneficiaries minted each day for 30 years. So the usual place to go to solve that math problem has been to go to the commercial carriers and say, hey, listen, we need, you know, 3-6% increases in order to make up for the losses on this burgeoning government pay population that tends to be pretty sick. Well, guess what? They got regulated as well. Their medical loss ratio was regulated at 85% as a result of the Affordable Care Act. So no new money, and the other bank you used to tap is out. Our discovery process by going deep on value-based care was something that is really obvious to everyone today, that the health of our overall community is only as good as the least healthy segment. If you put that in financial terms, it's really those individuals that don't have equal access, okay, or I should say equitable access to care, and or have conditions in their life that serve as obstacles, whether they're social, economic, or other, that prevent them from getting the kind of routine access to bread and butter medical conditions that can be managed and have a long, healthy life. But if you don't get access and you don't manage them aggressively and you can't afford your copay or you can't get a bus to leave your job to go see a doctor or three, suddenly you decide you're not going to care for yourself the same way. And guess what? You wind up in the hospital with a devastating sentinel clinical event that has a cost that will go on for decades. So as we put all that together, what we've learned is that you really have to prospectively risk stratify the entire population. Know who is not accessing the right kind of care, who is at risk for bad things to happen, and then proactively go out and find them and give even disproportionate effort to get them on a good path for their health. The only way to do that is to truly have a deep, analytic, risk stratifiable database that involves both clinical information, demographic information, housing information, poverty information, criminal justice information, disease-specific information, public health information. And we put that together as a basic component of LVHN's value-based care delivery operation for just our normal business. But what we did with the Pool Center for Health Analytics is we took that shotgun and turned it into a rifle. And that rifle is really charged with finding those folks that are having the greatest difficulty accessing care and are having the worst outcomes and make sure we find them, proactively get them, and improve their lives. So, you know, the analytics is a big piece. Kudos to Pool Trust for seeing that. And with those analytics, I think we're going to be able to discover the issues that are preventing people from having good outcomes. I agree with what Ed said. This project was on the rails before COVID. I would only tell you that COVID, a bit of a distraction, slowed it down, probably a few months. But also, it's the latest health crisis that has proved the theorem that disease burden, bad outcomes, are really on the shoulders of those that have socioeconomic difficulties. And that shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. But what can no longer be a surprise is that we put extra effort into helping those people. So what are we going to find? I think you heard Ed tick them off pretty quickly. We're going to find out that economics, living wage, has something to do with it. Where people live and what types of housing. Do they have comfort and love from their family or a support structure in their neighborhood or at their church, synagogue, or mosque? And we're going to also find out that, you know, transportation is an issue. And also paying for services, the coordination of services, the language barriers that we have to overcome to make sure everyone has an equal opportunity to live their healthiest life.
What you're really doing now, LVHN, is not only just a place to go for the diagnostic care, but you're also now going to find yourself in areas like the neighborhood improvement zones. Did you ever think you would be there?
We knew back in 2014 that's where we were headed. Between March 2010, which was signing of the Affordable Care Act, till about 2014, that's when we did this deep dive. And we actually went to our board and said, look, the direction to get better outcomes for our community is to set a new path, and that's based on population health science and risk stratification of populations to really understand who needs our care the most, instead of being reactionary and just taking care of problems when they come in and then putting people back on the street again.
Which is, of course, the social determinants of health that the Pool Trust has always been involved in.
Right? Absolutely. In fact, we even got our board to endorse a vision statement, which we never had, and that is that we would leverage our position as a premier academic community health system, kind of the piece that Leonard Poole always wanted first, but we will become a leader in population health to improve outcomes for the patients we serve. You know, and the board's been behind it, but it's been a journey to put that analytical machine together.
Yeah.
But we can tell you street by street, census tract by census tract, where our hotspots are for individuals that have diabetes that's out of control, that have asthma that's out of control. We know where they are. The process now is about what programs we put in place to engage those individuals in a healthy manner. And guess what? Most times that's not doctors or nurses.
Can you establish a baseline in a certain period of time, or is this just an evolving baseline?
Oh, no, we have the baseline. We have the baseline. The baseline can always be improved and bolstered, but we know the baseline. We know our targets. And I would tell you that it's led to some conclusions, early conclusions, about the importance of a healthy shelter and affordable housing. And it's also led to a real focus on caring. This is one of the reasons our children's hospital, we decided to double down on the children's hospital. You don't build children's hospitals, frankly, to make money. But if you're not taking care of moms and kids in communities that need that assistance, you're not taking care of families, and then bad things happen. Also, we are a big proponent of, you know, the cradle to career approach to caring for your community. If kids are not reading at third grade reading level, if you don't have a Head Start, numerous opportunities for kids to get Head Start assistance and have unique programs that give kids a view of a future occupation. Guess what? Bad things are going to happen, and health is the last frontier. Ed has a great line that education is a social determinant of health, but health is a social determinant of education. And those are some of the early conclusions. So we're all in seeing Allentown School District be successful. And we're all in on trying to untangle the issues around affordable housing and other things that are related.
Ed, what are you most proud of as you look back on your work in the social determinants of health, perhaps with Dr. Nestor?
I am most proud of the productivity of the relationship with Lehigh Valley Health Network and an array over the decades of very, very progressive things that we were able to do in the community that were frankly, you know, pretty much cutting edge across the United States of America. Those are really special, you know, not to single anyone out in particular, but our early work on HIV/AIDS was a model and for so many communities outside of major cities. Very early work on hospice care, very early work on burn programs, on trauma programs, on sophistication in emergency medicine. And then increasingly in recent decade or so, the understanding that healthcare, while it's extremely important, is insufficient if you're going to think about the determinants of health and how do we get upstream. So it's a great story. I mean, it's a story that Lehigh Valley Health Network and Pool Trust can be very proud of. Honoring the legacy of Leonard and Dorothy is premier, I think, in so many ways. And continuing going forward with the Institute, I think, positions the legacy and the focus on health in the Lehigh Valley and keeping the resources for decades to come.
Yeah. Dr. Nestor, how will you track, measure, and evaluate the impact of the data that you are deploying?
Good question, because we're not going to make progress unless we have measurable key performance indicators. Actually, we are working with CDC, a relationship that was crafted by Ed Meehan and also our former Chief Transformation Officer, Dr. Debbie Salas-Lopez, and they've gained real interest in our analytic efforts here. We even have a fellow from the CDC working with us. We anticipate having two more. And that's going to be all about creating this data set that will be a measurable system of improvement. Right now, that's one of our biggest problems. You know, we spend a lot of money on medical assistance, a lot of other public programming, but we really don't have good outcome metrics that show measurable improvement in health. We are determined in this next phase, if you will, of Leonard Parker Poole's vision is to make certain that we can measure community health and that it's actually improving. You know, we have a lot of municipalities in the state of Pennsylvania. We have a lot of challenges where we don't even have a county or departments of health that are really focused, working collaboratively, I should say, across a region. Our hope is that we'll be able to spur some interest in doing that so that we can all have the same common metrics to chase. You know, part of the Affordable Care Act was all about this, and it was related to the CHINA, or the Community Health Needs Assessment, that we are required to fill out. Many organizations, especially in the early years, kind of just saw it as a perfunctory checklist they had to submit each year to, you know, pass the regulation. The reality is we've embraced that across every one of the counties we serve. We have a CHINA for each one of our hospital campuses. We know the individual problems within the communities because of this data already, and we are chasing objective, measurable outcomes for each of those. And we see that the Pool Center for Health Analytics as the mechanism to refine that data set, those data sets, and really be able to rally support, public and private, in our communities to chase those kind of things that will truly improve outcomes.
Dr. Nestor, of course, we want everybody to be healthier, but this is just good business sense, isn't it? Good community expense control?
Yeah, you know, Grant, very insightful comment. You're spot on. So, you know, when we were told by the federal government, no new money, and you're going to have to take care of a lot more patients mandatorily that will probably not have great insurance, think Medicare and medical assistance, you know, good luck. we were really kind of worried about that. And we were looking, and I'll go back to, say, 2014, which was kind of the aha year for us after the Affordable Care Act, where we were looking at our patient direct care shortfall on our 990 that many people refer to as community benefit, mm-hmm. and that was about $440 million. That number had been doubling every 4 years for the prior 20 years. The biggest chunk of that, though, is about $300 million of subsidy payments to Medicare and Medicaid that were doubling every 3 years for the prior 12 years. So you could see that there was escalating subsidy to care for these populations. So when we looked at that, that actually turned out to be the new bank of money. If you could actually, so this is where it makes sense. What we realized is we weren't going upstream far enough to truly help individuals that had socioeconomic problems stay healthy and not have to just come in to get care during a crisis. And by doing that, I'm proud to tell you, and we just shared it with our board, that not only is it no longer tripling or doubling, it is nearly flat for the last 3 years here. So by keeping people healthier, preventing them from coming into the hospital, that'll have a prolonged length of stay, lots of things that we are good at doing, but we really, hopefully, we shouldn't have to do to people if they're taking care of themselves better. We're seeing a flattening of that, and that's as good as dropping to the bottom line of not having to subsidize, you know, really big, challenging cases that probably should have never happened anyway.
Dr. Nestor, you mentioned a lot of different social determinants of health. Is there any low-hanging fruit here? Is there anything that you can target into right away and get a specific metric and say, wow, look, now we are doing this?
I'll tell you, some of them are very costly and challenging that will go well beyond what LVHN can do. But, you know, I think affordable housing is a big, big piece here. Somehow we're gonna focus on that, but we're going to have to pull in public-private folks to really get on that bandwagon. The other is really taking care of kids. We got to get kids to the appropriate reading age. We have to give them a better look and view of a future career, the whole cradle to career. Those are things that we can embrace and hug with our children's hospital efforts and our community efforts around children and healthy moms, healthy babies. Those are things I think we're going to get on right away. We've already been working on how do we help get healthy food alternatives out into the community. And by the way, none of this do we do alone. This is not our space, frankly. We're learning how to operate in this space, but we rely on robust, wonderful community organizations. Think CACLV. Shout out to Alan Jennings and Don Gottschall.
Good friends of ours.
Yeah, many people like that are out there, you know, Council of Churches. The list is long. I hate to mention any and not mention the others, but those are the folks that are there every day doing the hard work. How do we help them? How do we support them? How do we work better with them to achieve the goals together? That's what I think Leonard Parker Pool Institute for Health is going to be able to help drive.
Dr. Nestor, give us a snapshot. We have a few minutes left. Give us a snapshot into improvements that we've made over the past, say, 20 years that have surprised you and give us some hope. Say, wow, you know, in 20 years, I didn't think we'd be here, but we're here.
Yeah, well, right now, I think cancer care is just remarkable right now. In my career, that'll be the single greatest improvement. And think about making certain that every individual has equal and equitable access to the pathways that are driving cures. I probably, over the last year, I have referred just personally 6 to 10 individuals to our Cancer Institute that were told they are in late-stage cancer, not a lot else they can offer. And I can tell you, all of those people have negative scans today.
Wow.
Certainly as a credit to our extraordinary clinical team at our Cancer Institute, but I would tell you, it's without the new heroic immune therapies that are out there, remarkable new surgical procedures and diagnostic imaging capabilities to truly chase down the last cell in cancer, we wouldn't see those outcomes. And by the way, it's getting better every day. Even the COVID disaster has strengthened some of the science that will, I believe, you know, change and revolutionize the treatment of cancer. Think CAR T, think T cell platforms. LVHN is going to be on the forefront in our partnership with Memorial Sloan Kettering in that regard. And it's an exciting, exciting time. So I think really minimally invasive surgery and cancer care are probably the two biggest things that are just really exciting for all of us.
Our listeners who go home and they're healthy also have a role to play in this. How can they learn more about what you're doing at the Data Analytics Center and become a part of helping the Lehigh Valley?
Well, I'll tell you, we've kept these things kind of under the rug. We haven't even had this is really the first, a conversation we've had, Greg, about this. We plan to have a website that actually shares what our intentions are, what we're doing in that space, what our goals will be. So I'm really excited to be emerging from COVID so we can share this more with the community and really kind of put out there what we're going to be chasing over the next decade. I think what we do in the next 3 to 5 years in this space is going to be critical to the success of being able to say, hey, listen, we had measurable improvement in the health of our community. I can tell you what block it occurred on, and it's in these areas of disease management. I truly think that's within our grasp, but it's only because you're only as good as the analytics that help drive those insights and those, you know, those pilot programs that can really bring home improvement.
Edward, you've accomplished a lot, and it carries on.
Yes. The past is prologue. Now we're off on a whole new course of things that we need to do. I would add to Dr. Nestor's comments that no healthcare network, no matter how good, can do this alone, as you said. And so part of the data analytics is sharing data with the really good not-for-profits we have all across the Lehigh Valley and engaging in the dialogue to say, how do we create win-win-win opportunities? Your education challenge is our health challenge. Your housing challenge is our health challenge. How do we enable you to think about the data analysis that you probably don't have in your not-for-profit and provide you that ability, and then think about breaking through those service silos so that we don't miss one another in trying to address the same families, the same communities, the same neighborhoods. So that's the sweet spot for the Institute. Is the qualitative work at the neighborhood level strengthened and enabled by the quantitative work from Poole Center for Health Analytics.
Edward Meehan and Dr. Brian Nestor, thank you very much for being on Health Beat. This has been very interesting.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Once again, you're listening to WDIY. Have a good evening.
Lehigh Valley Public Radio is proud to present Health Beat, a spotlight on healthcare in the Lehigh Valley, produced in conjunction with the Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust and the Ryder Poole Foundation.